I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, Fesco, Mac, and Dusty with you on a Monday morning, a very, well,
moist,
par for the course weather. Somebody says, as we go back to the question we asked about which celebrities you'd like to watch fight after that disgusting puke job of a fight with Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, Miles Garrett versus TJ Watt.
Ooh.
TJ Watt would get his ass kicked.
I agree.
He's just way bigger, isn't he?
What about Miles Garrett versus Mason Rudolph?
I mean, Miles Garrett versus like Chris Jones is where I would be.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be good.
I don't know if I'm Chris Jones. I want to get into that ring, though.
How about Miles Garrett versus Aaron Donald?
Be tough for Aaron Donald.
Skinny pop.
Be tough for Donald.
I don't know if there's anybody it takes.
Well, I don't know. I guess Donald's so, he's like 6 feet, he's lower to the ground. It'd be hard. I don't know.
Miles Garrett just scares the hell out of me.
Because what was crazy is I watched the UFC fight the next night.
Mm.
Way better.
Real fighting.
Yeah.
Well, like, yeah. That's.
I mean, obviously. Like, John Jones did like a spin heel kick to the guy's ribs, and we all that were watching were like.
Is there anybody that's still a boxing fan?
Probably. I mean, if the fight's right, like, I think every time that.
But who's the next, though? Like, you there was always somebody in the heavyweight division that you could look at. Like,
well, for a while, it was the, what was it? He went by the Gypsy King. What's his name?
The Tiger King, that guy?
Fury? No.
Yeah, Fury. Tyson Fury.
I think boxing has turned into more of a sideshow now with, like, these, like, what we saw the other night, like, these celebrity matches as opposed to the real. Like, until boxing can figure out, and we've said this for 30 years, I feel like now, until boxing can get the heavyweight division figured out, they don't have anything.
Yeah.
That's just my two cents.
It's glorified WWE at this point. It really is.
Yeah. Well, and just UFC just took off.
Took off,
like,
yeah.
Just like it became more entertaining. The more names were there, the more entertainment, like storylines were there. Boxing's just, it's good. You just don't have good fighters.
Right.
Like, I'm sure you have good fighters. You just don't have that. It's like baseball, man.
You don't need them. But baseball, I was talking to somebody yesterday about baseball being back. Like, we're in a renaissance because of the players.
Right.
And that's where boxing needs to go. And that's why they keep rolling out. Who's going to watch boxing? Nobody. Mike Tyson's fighting? Sure, I'll put it
Somebody
on.
Somebody said Rosie Perez is the only boxing fan left.
What in the hell? Like, Rosie Perez was on that broadcast,
right? I know we did this on Friday, and I feel bad after listening to it because I feel like we picked on you. But have you seen White Men Can't Jump?
No.
Okay.
No, not a chance.
No. I was being mad if you're like, well, I saw the one that had that Jack Harlow guy in it. I'm like,
the remake. We were at a bar on Friday, like about 7 o'clock or whatever the time of day it was. And the fight starts to come on and we're looking at it. We're like, that looks like Rosie Perez. We're like, no chance, Rosie Perez. Oh my God, it's Rosie Perez calling the boxing match.
Why, you stupid?
I mean, where did they find Rosie Perez? Can somebody explain that
Billy
one to me?
Is
there something I'm missing on this one as to why she was part of the broadcast? Because, like, $500, please, of people you haven't heard from in years, and then Rosie Perez shows up. Like, not that I hated it, but I'm like, that was random, was it not?
You couldn't have put this in the script for Thanksgiving Day, but you will get Cooper Rush versus Tommy DeVito.
Chicken Parm versus Cooper Rush.
Is that chicken Alfredo?
Oh, God. Yeah. What is Cooper Rush? If he were a chicken dish, what would he be?
Cordon Bleu?
I had some of that the other day from Hy-Vee. It was really good.
Mm. All right, here we go. I don't know who's going first, Mac, but I know that we all got this wrong and way wrong.
Yeah, brought to you by our friends at Foaling. I don't think we got the script right this week, but maybe you guys did.
I know we did.
I think this is a game where the Chiefs actually start quick on offense.
Uh-oh.
They come out, they're ready.
They did.
Script looks good. No pun intended. And it's one of the only times that's going to happen this season, that it's happened this season, where they come out firing on all cylinders on offense. The run game's competent as usual. D-Hop, Kelsey, they own the first drive. They own this game in general. We got a splash of Hardman in that first drive. I don't know why. I just think we got a jet sweep, little screen pass. Hardman has a good play. Josh Allen makes the Chiefs defense look average for three quarters. And then Spag says, you know what? I figured you out. Exotic blitzes, here you come. Man coverage, zone coverage. You don't know what you're getting. Allen looks confused. And on the other end, that's when the Bills are tired. They're going to be craving buffalo sauce. Kareem Hunt's going to be taking his toll on that defense. Chris Jones will come in clutch with the sack in the fourth quarter. And Sean McDermott's going to make some sort of bad decision at the end of this game, it'll re-emphasize that conversation that would seems like we've had every season. Like, is this the year? Is this it for McDermott? He's going to make another bad decision. I don't know if that's a timeout or bad clock management. The Chiefs will get the ball back, and they'll be able to run out the clock with a couple of first downs. Chiefs go 10-0, winning this one 31-24.
Yikes.
Yeah, this is the game every year. This is the one that I get excited for. This is the edge of the seat game for me. This is, there's a possibility I DoorDash Parliament lights to the house. I'm dead serious. I don't know why this game does it to me, but it does. But I think this is a big DeAndre Hopkins game, a big Travis Kelce game. I tweeted out earlier, if you missed it, at Dusty Lichen. Travis Kelce averages 6 catches for 78 yards in this game against Buffalo. In his last 4 games, Travis Kelce's been a monster. So has Patrick Mahomes. But I think this is a big Travis Kelce game. I think you lean on your veterans. I also like Juju Smith-Schuster for about 3 catches for about 20 yards. But I feel he gets a huge first down late in the game when they need it most, like a 7-yard pass play where D-Hop is bracketed, Kelsey's out of the play, and it just a nice little check out to Juju Smith-Schuster, gets that first down, and it's like, glad we got that guy back. I do believe the new kicker misses a field goal for the Chiefs, but it won't lose them the game. But again, big Kelce game and a big closeout from Kareem Hunt. Last week, Kareem Hunt had a lot of all-purpose yards, not a lot of rushing yards. The rushing game was kind of taken away. Only had like 39 rushing yards, I believe, in that game. I think the Chiefs win this game by 4. I think they win this game 24-20.
This is going to be one for the ages, and it will come down to the final possession. Buffalo, as we know, will take an early lead. Pretty much been the script all year for the Chiefs. Then their defense will settle in. The Chiefs will get the running game going early, and that's going to lead to a big day by Travis Kelce. As you mentioned the numbers earlier, Travis against Buffalo is pretty darn good. He'll have another wow game for the Chiefs, making it 4 in a row for Travis Kelce. It'll be a one-score game at halftime. Travis. Second half, the Bills will score a touchdown, but that'll be it. Same with the Chiefs. The Bills will have their final possession, and Josh Allen will benefit from a third down defensive holding call that will extend their shot at winning. It won't happen. The defense comes up with its biggest stop of the season. They blindside Josh Allen, cause him to float one in the air, and it's intercepted by Chris Jones. Chiefs get the ball back, kneel on it to win 24-17.
Well, you can't win them all, boys.
No, you really can't.
Big Travis Kelce game.
Huge Travis Kelce game.
2 for 7.
Forgot it was the regular season and not the playoffs. Rerun those scripts for the postseason, and I think we'll be dead on.
That would be fun.
I think I save those and see if that plays out when we go to the playoffs against Buffalo, because I think that was kind of a playoff game. Did anybody else like feel like the new kicker's extra points were as high as they could possibly
be? They made me hold my breath. I was like, that's a little tight.
Like a little kind of like, he just looked like the kid you found on the schoolyard. Here, wear number 40. Go out there and kick. But like every kick, even my kids are like, how high is that extra point? My God, like over the fence or the net. I mean, like, whew.
I'm glad he's we got to was a Juju Smith-Schuster catch.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. One catch. Yeah.
Follow me into the freedom. Mm-hmm. But that just goes to show you, like, we know nothing.
We nailed that, though. I'll tell you. That was, whew. It's like taking candy from a baby.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
Yeah. No, that was like the baby just getting candy and throwing it on the ground.
Yeah.
That's Here's your opportunity to be really smart about this game or not.
You dumbasses.
Yeah. 913.
I mean, we couldn't have been more wrong.
So bad.
You did text me something, though, about Xavier Worthy. Did I get something right about Xavier Worthy? You go, there's your guy making the plays or something.
I think that was about Caliendo.
That was Caliendo. Yeah. I was just saying that's a typical,
I thought that at the moment, too, though, Bob.
I feel like that's one of those things where, like, that gets Bob Fesco to smile during a Chiefs
game. But Caliendo,
yeah.
Though.
Oh, God, yeah.
Caliendo, Frank. More catches and more yards.
Is his first name Frank?
His name is Mike.
Mike
Caliendo.
And then, of course, you know, Romo goes into Jim.
Oh, God. 913-586-7965. I kind of want to know how you're feeling. I know the text messages will take over. If you want to call, feel free. Again, it's 913-586-7965. Positives, negatives, how you feeling on this Monday at 8 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Murray. That's Samari. Man, I'm excited for that chicken cutlet sandwich on Friday. From the fine folks at Jasper's.
I'm excited for the fact that Tommy DeVito's the starting quarterback for the Giants.
Cowboys, Houston, Texans tonight. How much will you watch?
Probably will really? Not find myself near that game. I wonder if you turn that on.
No. 7:30 start. I will watch the entire thing.
Will you? Yeah, probably not going to find my way there. Chiefs lose. I'm kind of like, meh. Didn't watch much of the little bit of the Sunday night game. Yeah. Is the Manning cast on tonight? I'll probably tune in for that more than the game. But the Dallas Cowboys, what are they bringing to the table this time of year, right? Cooper Rush, you said?
Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving Day, Cooper Rush versus Tommy DeVito. Cody just said, talk to your family about politics or watch Cooper Rush versus Tommy DeVito. Said, probably Tommy DeVito and Cooper Rush still. Yeah. But I would rather play Uno than watch those two zeros. We go to Melvin. What's your thoughts after that Chiefs-Bills game? Melvin, go ahead.
Hey, Dustin, Bob. I'm not really worried about the loss because we know Andy and Spack both are tacticians, so they're probably not showing anything because everybody,
right,
we'd have to play in the playoffs. We've already played this year. Are they on an upcoming schedule? So it's no big deal. Now, the undefeated season would have been a byproduct, but we all know the main goal is the Super Bowl. And thanks a lot for taking my call.
Yeah, you got it, man. That's kind of the way I feel. They don't show anything. I mean, it was a very, very vanilla game plan, and what they do in the postseason against Buffalo is going to be completely different because I just want to kind of piggyback off of what Melvin said. You sent a text of snap counts. Why do I care about snap counts? And Matt goes, I'll tell you in a minute why you should care about snap counts.
Yeah, that was a very grouchy response.
Yeah, but I mean, like, but why? Though?
Like, what, God, dude. Yeah. Like, why?
Here are the snap counts. Oh, great, because I got nothing else to do.
Or maybe be like, hey, man, like, what's the relevance of this? Yeah. Like, we never do this. Instead of being like, why are you sending this to me? Yeah, I don't care.
I'm very blunt in how I feel about
this. It's ironic because it's actually in support of what you're saying. Yeah. It's a prime example of why this game is not at all a picture of what's going to happen in the playoffs. The snap counts.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins played less than 50% of the snaps yesterday. That's not the case in January.
No.
Leo Chenal played less than 50% of the snaps yesterday. I doubt that's the case. Mm-hmm. Josh Uche, we were talking about, where is he? He played 5 snaps yesterday. Mm-hmm. We're going to get him going. Hollywood Brown, not that, like, the snap counts to me.
Did Hollywood play yesterday?
0% of the snaps, man.
What about Pacheco?
0% of the snaps.
The DeAndre Hopkins one is the interesting
one. That's weird.
One. Yeah. And well, how much did Travis play yesterday, too?
80% of the snaps.
Is that a lot? Is that
that's
normal?
A lot.
Is
that's
that,
a lot.
Okay, that's a lot. So, but they didn't even look at Travis Kelce all day.
No, they did not.
You know?
I think the one I looked at was, if you can look at it real quick, so I can get my phone out and look at it, but I think it was like, the thing that I took away from it was, the Chiefs had 55 offensive snaps and Buffalo had 70-something, because there was like 70 plays on the defensive side for McDuffie and all those guys who played 100%
that's
snap.
That's a lot, man. Like, the defense was getting gassed.
Yeah, we got out-snapped. Yeah.
18 more plays than us.
18 more. That's 2 more possessions.
Huge. And it's one, massive. Obviously, is the interception to start the game. Yep. But you got that back when you intercepted
not only that,
him.
They were converting on third down.
Yeah.
And that was a tough part.
And that sucks. I mean, and it wasn't like it was all third and twos either. I mean, there were third and eights. There were third and nines. There were third and 11s. Like, they were converting on everything. And really, for the first time, I saw like a Josh Allen-led team or an anybody-led team who didn't care what the third and distance was against the Chiefs. Like, that's always been kind of my MO. Third and 11 is better than third and 1, in my opinion, because I can't get a yard. But, like, for the first time I saw, it didn't matter. It was third and a mile, and Josh Allen said, screw this, we're going to get the first down, and they were able to do that. The Leo Chenal one is interesting, too, because
I thought so.
I think that could be the guy that potentially spies Josh Allen in the postseason. But, again, they're not going to show their hand at this time of the year. There's nothing to gain by going out there and getting overly prepared for a game that you're going to be playing again most likely in a couple of months, where they can sit back and go, all right, remember the first time they played us, this is what they did. This is how they stopped us. They allowed Buffalo to have success, maybe some false success yesterday, because when they see them in January, it's not going to be the same game plan at all. And Buffalo is going to have their work cut out for them when the game truly matters at Arrowhead.
I think the other thing that I noticed about this matchup this year, because I know that there are many things you can pick away from this game, is that Buffalo knows what they have to do against the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And they are the one team that I will say that we've had questions along, like Tampa Bay, Todd Bowles, were like, why didn't he go for 2? Like, you have to know. Like, Buffalo, the way I look at this is, like, they've gotten to the final level so many times. And they know that they have to either go underneath the big boss when he jumps in the air or jump over it and attack him from the other side, because that's where the vulnerability is. The Bills are not going to give Patrick Mahomes a chance. They gave him 13 seconds. It was too much. They played him in the playoffs. They can't beat him. They've, you know, missed field goal and opportunities. They know that they have to play perfect, mm-hmm. and they know that they have to get lucky a few times while going for it on a fourth down. Fourth and two, and the Chiefs not spying is either part of Bob Fesco's theory where a guy was, you know, they're not going to show everything, or the text lines theory where a guy was a spy, but he got drawn to the flat, and it took away and gave Josh Allen the open middle. Maybe. Or maybe that's just one thing where it's like, we're going to show this defense to see how they react in it. I know there's a video that goes way back to Ed Reed and Peyton Manning, where Peyton Manning, I think, threw an interception in the end zone, and he knew that he did something wrong because he saw that Ed Reed had picked up on a move. So they played again in the playoffs, and Peyton Manning remembered that play, pump faked, Ed jumped, all-world safety, and the guy was open because Peyton Manning remembered that play. Mm-hmm. Maybe you take that setup and whatever that play was in the regular season where you can afford to have a hiccup. Yeah. But one thing I notice is that Buffalo has no longer and will no longer give Mahomes the option if they can help it. Because
that's smart. Other teams should do that.
And what do we always hear when teams lose like a 3 or a 4-point game?
We gave Mahomes an extra opportunity.
That, and you can't beat the Chiefs and Mahomes with field goals. No. You have to give your offense a chance. I know that defense is good, but now you know why Brett Veach has made that defense what it is. He knows teams are going to be more aggressive, so you've got to have something else that sticks out. And when you have that and you see Buffalo do that, because honestly, guys, I don't see other teams do this outside of Buffalo, and that's it. I mean, when you play other teams, I mean, I guess Atlanta did it, going for fourth down twice, not converting, but I'm not mad about that. You're telling yourself, we're not giving 15 the ball. We've been burned by this. Others have too, and we know what we need to do go forward. It's up to your defense to stop them, and you're gonna, if they play this game in January in the AFC Championship game, you're not going to see a lot of punts from Buffalo unless it merits it, where they're in their own territory and they have to do it to flip the field.
Well, you're going to see a lot more stops in January, too, from this Chiefs defense. You're going to see Chris Jones play a better game. You're going to see a better spy. And you mentioned the spy, like losing track or whatever. Did you see the dudes who were spying Mahomes? They weren't losing track of anything. They were on Mahomes the entire time. And that's what you have to be. So that's why I don't buy that there was a spy on Josh Allen.
I don't think there was.
You got one job, and that's to watch this person, and nobody else can get in your peripheral, right? That's why it's called the spy. You're focused in on that one guy. If you lose track of that, you weren't spying that guy, or you're just really bad at your job.
I think it was interesting
the way Tony Romo broke down the Bills defense with Mahomes, because they were like, they're just taking the edges straight, and the minute Mahomes moved outside of a tackle, their spy was just
right there,
straight to Mahomes.
Right there.
Like, doesn't matter. So like, that was something that now you see, you know how to like bait those guys on it. But I mean, look, man, that's...
And you know they're going to have something in their playbook for that come January, right? We're going to fake, and they're going to get outside, and there's going to be somebody there. He's going to pop it over the top or out to the side. Or see, this is the type of game where Andy Reid lets you get a little something, right? Give you a little taste, right?
Yeah.
Ah, you got to win in the regular season. Slam the door when it matters most. Like, yeah, exactly. There will be a fumble rooski or bumble rooski or bundle rooski. I do like that Bundele and Save. Bundele and Save. Bundele and Save, right? But I thought that Tony Romo actually said something yesterday that most teams in the NFL need to hear. He goes, Buffalo's not afraid to go win this game. And I think there are a lot of teams in this league that have been afraid to try to win games against the Chiefs because they can't, and they know they can't. Buffalo knows they can. They have a quarterback that does something probably better than anybody else, right? And that's utilize his legs in those type of situations. Josh Allen is a deadly runner, just like Patrick Mahomes is a deadly runner. And that's not taking anything away from Lamar. He's a different kind of runner. Josh Allen is a deadly runner. He kills you, rips your heart out with his legs. That's what Patrick Mahomes does. They know when to run, they know how to run, and they get the yards necessary on those runs. But I think when we see these two teams again, it's going to be completely different. It's going to be a DeAndre Hopkins game. It's going to be a Travis Kelce game. Yes. It's going to be a Leo Chenal game. It's going to be one of those games where they're baiting Buffalo into doing all this kind of stuff, and then they pull the old okey-doke and go, ha-ha, you got the regular season, we get the playoffs.
Looking over the numbers of the game, team stat-wise, Chiefs were 5 of 10 on third down. Buffalo was 9 of 15.
Yeah, 60% they converted.
15 third downs, man.
Gosh, man.
Rushing yards, Buffalo had 104, Kansas City had 78. I'll call that a wash. Total yards, 366 to 259. So 100 yards more, 107 more for Buffalo. Two interceptions thrown to one. Not good. Four punts to three.
Yeah, you count that interception at the end.
Yeah, it wasn't in the course of the game.
Right. Yeah.
Chiefs get all the calls. They had more penalties than Buffalo, 6-3.
There was a completely missed offensive pass interference on Buffalo. If we want to talk about getting all the calls, I mean, my God.
Which would be all the rage right now on social media. It would be all anyone's talking about if that was the Chiefs.
Right. Yeah. And then Buffalo had the ball for almost 10 minutes longer than the Chiefs.
That's massive.
Yeah, it's huge. He couldn't get off the field. So, for the first time in 2 years, we saw the defense not get off the field. It happens.
Two third and longs on that last drive, I think, and the fourth and two.
Yeah.
So, yep. You had the chances.
Yep. And you let them off the hook.
Yep.
You know, they are who we thought we were, as we like to say. But you let them off the hook. You got to find a way to get do better on defense.
And I think Dusty brought up a great point. Like they know all the controls to this game. Like they've been on YouTube and they've like, oh, how do we beat this level? Okay, this is what this boss does. Like they know all the cheat codes. So now it's like, okay, it's up to the Chiefs to, okay, now you've got to level up. Now you've got to come up with a new wrinkle. And like you've mentioned, Bob, I mean, Andy Reid's already in the lab, dude. He's got it going.
Well, yeah, and he's getting guys back. There will be guys on that field in January that were not on that field yesterday.
For sure.
From a running back and a wide receiver standpoint.
No doubt about it. I mean, and not only that, but they will have a completely style ran offense by the time they get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like we saw that last year, right? They didn't know who was going to be the guy they were going to throw to because they didn't know who's going to catch the ball. After Christmas is when they changed it. After Christmas.
Right, and we're before Thanksgiving.
Christmas, they were, now I know both seasons are different, but after Christmas, they were literally like, it is Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, Isaiah Pacheco, that's what we're going with forward, and we don't need to talk about anything else. And that's what they did. And then that's when MVS became a surprise. Oh, Baltimore Ravens game, close it out, you're going to guard Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce? Blip, there's MVS.
You know what's also going to happen in the playoffs? Worthy's going to understand where the sidelines are. Mahomes is going to hit him on that play, and that's going to be a touchdown.
Every time. Know,
that's 100% on Worthy.
No, I agree.
No, I say Mahomes will hit him, and, you know, I think going back and watching it this morning, Mahomes needs to be better on that.
Yeah,
because that's a pinpoint throw that with his speed, and you hit him.
Yeah, you hit him in stride, that's a touchdown.
He had
a
kind of contour.
And
just loft it up. Yeah. Just let him find it. Don't throw it to the sideline. There's so much room there.
I mean, I know it's blasphemy to say that Patrick Mahomes can work on something, but going back and looking at that one this morning, that's more on Mahomes than it is on Worthy on this one.
But that's not bad because, I mean, that's essentially like Rory McIlroy not having his driver. It's like, hey, man, like this guy bombs at 340 yards. We know he can hit that club. We've seen it. We know it. It's his best club in his bag. But for 2 weeks or two tournaments, he's just not hitting it true. All he had to do was go to the lab, get back to it, and maybe Mahomes just has to do that. Like, okay, like when he hits here and I know that, I can throw it here. So, I mean, again, like I know it's week 11 and they still haven't really meshed. They've had that play against the Chargers that he hit over the top that he scored a touchdown that looked like they had figured it out. But this is back-to-back weeks where there's been missed opportunities with big plays to Xavier Worthy. Even though he did have like 4 for 61 and a touchdown, could have been like 6 for 120 and 2 touchdowns.
Let me ask you this. Do you think they miss on that play again this year if you're a betting man? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say this thing gets figured out against Carolina. We see, you know, now that not that that's a great test, but you still need to see some positives. You need to see that play work for your own doing. I think they're going to start hitting on that play. I think Mahomes is going to take that one personal.
Yeah, and you can use it as fuel. I mean, like I said, it's a good football team, so nothing to hang your head out head on. I'm losing to them, but we feel like we can play better, so we'll get back to work and try to use this as a spark so that we can be a better football team in the end. And the undefeated thing was cool, but that's not our ultimate goal, so we'll keep building towards that.
So today you walk in, you see highlights of the game, and that Worthy pass is probably the first one that they show and go over and over and over. Go, we got to hit this play, we got to hit this play, we got to hit this play. Because the immediate reaction from everybody was, because my phone blew up, all your friends and whatnot, about Worthy doesn't know where the sidelines are, all this kind of stuff. We talked about this, rinse and repeat. And then you go back and you look at it and you're like, I think there's more on the quarterback on this one than the wide receiver, right?
Look, you talk about how the Chiefs need to get back in the lab. I think there's, you know, a lot of work Mahomes can do. This is probably his worst year as a starter, which I know that we sit back and we're like, well, what's his worst year? Like Daniel Jones would beg for that year. We're not having that conversation. We're talking about Mahomes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like we're talking about the guy that is the cream of the crop, the best of the best. And when he's not the best of the best, he'll own it. And, you know, we'll get this, you know, sort of notice or this note of note, you know, we'll find out when we realize what he wasn't doing right. And again, I will say he has not been the best version of himself. That's a fair statement to make. I think everybody agrees to that. The other thing
that is, and let me interrupt you just 1 second, is on that left tackle spot being so
weak.
That's
where I was going.
Okay.
Now, I think the other part of it is that there are some trust issues with his blind side.
Yeah.
And he's got to throw it quicker, or he's got to do it faster, or he's got to, create. Sometimes you do if you're in an airplane. And, you know, you got to realize, you know, okay, what do I have? Because I don't know what I have all the time, and I got 2 seconds to make this play. And that worthy play that he goes deep on, it's not a quick play. You have to have time to get him open. Now, I'm okay to admit that. I think that he can be better, but he's still the best in the league, and I trust that he will get better, and he will show that he's working on something, because something's not there. I think there's a little bit of you are unfortunate that you don't have your number one and number two wide receiver that you had in camp going mm-hmm. forward. So that offense was completely taken off the books in the first preseason game.
It was off the books in the first play of the preseason game.
And then your new playbook that you had to revamp because you've lost Hollywood Brown and now you have Rashee Rice, that playbook's gone by week four.
Yep.
So now you're in only, 7 weeks into the new sort of system that you're running, and it's with a rookie wide receiver, a guy that's never played on this team before, and a guy that you brought back in Juju Smith-Schuster. Oh, and by the way, your running back's out.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's been
and Kareem Hunt
season.
Is showing 30.
Right. But let's also look at everything. And I know that we're, you know, getting called homers or whatever. It's just the quarterback needs to be better. That's what we're saying.
But these aren't excuses. These are logical conversation points to have.
Jared Goff has not had anybody out other than Jamison Williams, but he still has had Amara St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery. Now, Sam Laporta just went out, but he hasn't been an issue all year. He hasn't been, like, the big guy. But, I mean, their defense is the one that got hurt. But, like, these guys that are having big years, they're doing it without injuries. Or they're doing it without massive injuries. Like,
and that's why what Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are doing is so much more impressive than what anybody else is doing at this point in time, because they're finding ways to win when they basically had all of their weapons taken mm-hmm. away from them.
And what I'm also ready for is let him play pissed. Let him. God forbid you let him figure it out, because when he does and he's doing all these numbers towards the end of the season, when he's playing big, meaningful games like Pittsburgh, Houston, Denver, and the Chargers, and all of a sudden there's
four big games coming up at the end of the year.
Better believe it.
Yeah.
You get two byes. You get Cleveland and you get Carolina.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's go time. And if Patrick Mahomes does that, and all of a sudden we start seeing the 325, three touchdowns, no picks, and it's all of a sudden week after week after week, it's like, all right, man, this guy's pissed off.
Yeah, he's pissed, and he's going to figure it out, and they're now getting healthier again, too. I think having Isaiah Pacheco back is going to be one of the biggest injury additions back to this team than we've seen in quite some time. And I know, like, we look at the running back position in the NFL at times and poo-poo it. We have seen this year it is much more important than it's ever been, and I think a lot of that reason has to do with the stars that play defensive end in this league on just about every single team. They can get up the field. They can get after the quarterback. There's so much talent on the defensive side of the field, and you've got to find a way to counteract that. And a good running game will absolutely 100% counteract that. So you're getting Isaiah Pacheco back at the prime time for this offense. Hopefully Hollywood Brown gets back into this offense as well, and you get moving in the right direction. But I think having the running back coming into the equation now with Isaiah Pacheco, the ability to split carries with him and Kareem Hunt, I think is going to be wonderful for this offense.
Your
it's going to be completely different.
Your backfield's going to look similar to Pittsburgh's, and they're just doing pretty well right
now. Yeah, they're good.
Like Najee Harris and Jalen Warren, that's their handcuff back there. And like, I get it. I'm not thinking that Isaiah Pacheco is going
to
run for 70 and Kareem Hunt's going
to
run for 70 for every game. But I will say this, like, I mean, hey, dude, let Mahomes figure it out. Let him get pissed off. You know, let him hear the narratives. Let him hear.
Now, and he will this week. I'm sure it's already starting across the league that, you know, Josh Allen is the better quarterback. He's now past Mahomes as the best quarterback in the NFL. Buffalo's passing the Chiefs as the best team in the AFC. You know, all of that stuff fuels
their fire. Where do you
think
they have the Chiefs in power rankings?
This week, I'm going to guess probably just like sixth or something. Like somebody will drop him down.
I bet it's third. I bet it's Detroit, Buffalo, Kansas City.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe Pittsburgh ahead of him, but probably not.
No.
Probably Pittsburgh.
Stephen A. will put him ahead of him. Stephen A. will have Pittsburgh at
100% he will.
Has he been having Pittsburgh really high?
He's had Pittsburgh like as like three or four the last couple of weeks on Stephen A.'s list.
And what are they, 8-2 now?
Yes.
They are.
Leading the AFC North.
Yeah.
And they benched a quarterback at a 4-2 record and haven't lost since.
They're great. It's Tomlin, man. I tell you, that's why I love the guy. He's an unbelievable head coach. The fact that he's doing this with Russell Wilson, it's incredible.
Let's see if he can do it in the playoffs.
with Russell Wilson. They're winning that division where everybody, Baltimore is going to win this thing, or Cincinnati is going to win this thing.
Baltimore is the best team we've ever seen, I thought, right?
Well, that's what I've been told.
That's what I thought.
That's what I was told. Gotcha. Is Greenberg still hanging on to that one?
See, like, that's a tougher Monday than Kansas City. Like, 100%. Like, Baltimore losing to go to 7-4 is much more of a down day than Kansas City losing to Buffalo.
Especially since you didn't give up a touchdown. This is the second game now that Pittsburgh has won without scoring a touchdown.
Been there, done that.
I know, we've seen that, and it's always 18 points.
And this is the best offense in the league, one of the best offenses of all time, the stats, the MVP. Can it put up 20 points?
And it's the same kicker.
Yeah.
It's Boswell, dude.
It's Boswell.
Speaking of kickers, man, Tucker, he's done. It's over.
Yeah. Kelsey broke that, dude.
Yep. He's done.
Also, did you see that kid for, or not kid, but did you see that guy for Cleveland? Dude, that guy missed 3 field goals inside 35 yards.
No.
Who was it? What's his name? Hopkins?
Dustin Hopkins.
Dustin Hopkins. Not only that, he missed one. He's been
in Rain Man?
No, that's funny. But no, he missed a field goal. There was a flag, so it didn't happen. It was offsides on the defense.
So kick it again.
They got a first down. So Cleveland went, didn't get it. And then all of a sudden, 4th-and-3, kicked again, missed it again.
Oh, God.
And previously had missed one earlier, all wide left.
Stop relying on your kickers.
Just yips, dude.
Oh, God.
Just yips.
That's a shame. You hate to see it, Cleveland. You really do. You hate to see Cleveland suffer.
Yeah. It says warts. That's what it says on the rundown for the next topic. We'll explain on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Man, I love talking shop. Alex Gold's out there. He's positive. Cody's positive.
He's good mood. Everybody's in a good mood today, right?
Everybody's positive.
Everybody must have a lawn that's getting the water today for free. I like that.
I do.
Has
all the leaves are gone.
What's his name been fired yet? Peterson still there?
Yep.
Well, if you're looking to save some money, you can save 21 cents a gallon at Hy-Vee today. The more you spend, well, not the more you spend, but spend $21 or more, I should say, and you'll save 21 cents per gallon today at Hy-Vee because the Chiefs scored 21 points, and that means today only you'll get 21 cents off a gallon at Hy-Vee when you spend $21 or more. So get to Hy-Vee today and save that cash.
Mike Tomlin said that in a game like he does with Baltimore, he finds he likes to do a good job of exposing their warts.
Yeah, he says a game like that can expose all our warts. We win, but it still shows everything that, you know, we don't do right. You got to win, but man, oh God, we only had 6 field goals in this game for the second time this season and found a way to win a game. So I ask you guys, if you were taking that analogy for the Chiefs, what warts were exposed yesterday for the Kansas City Chiefs? Is it left tackle? Was that the wart that was exposed yesterday?
Not me.
Is it the wart that really got exposed to me that I didn't recognize that kind of got exposed? Defense can't have a bad game. If they have a game like that yesterday, they're probably not going to win a lot of these games going forward. So for me, defensively, like, they almost, I don't want to say perfect because there's no such thing as a perfect game, but they got to play their top game for this team to win football games.
You just got
to
have a shutout.
Yeah, well, you do, and give them no yards, the whole thing, I guess you could say. But like, it's almost impossible to do something.
Might happen next week.
It might. You never know.
Next week might be 20-0.
Yeah.
Is that considered a blowout?
Is that good? Are people going to be excited with a 20-0 win over Carolina?
It got to be 40 points, man. Come on.
I don't think anybody's going to think that.
Yeah. So for me, defensively, like, sorry, guys, you can't have a bad moment. You got to play good on every single series, basically.
Matt?
I mean, yeah, kind of on the same page. I'd say the secondary can be had for sure. I mean, we've seen it a couple of weeks now, but yeah it looks like the Jalen Watson loss is going to be quite a loss.
Watson,
yeah, it's definitely hurt more, I think, than people realize when that happened. Mm-hmm. Because I will say this, to Veach's credit, he seems to always kind of find that guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, oh, this guy's a rookie? Is this, like, you know, I see flashes of Charvarius Ward, or I see flashes of L'Jarius Sneed over here. But no, I'm definitely with you. I think that, you know, to me,
Najee Johnson's like good, and then he's inconsistent.
He looks like Dak Prescott's calf yesterday.
Yeah.
I will say this, and maybe this is just me being a homer, or maybe this is me not watching enough Chiefs games, which I find that hard to believe. I'm trying to find that guy. on the offense in a game like this. It wasn't Travis yesterday.
No, it was not. And he was very quiet yesterday.
I don't know if that was just because Buffalo did a really good job, and it was 2 for 7 on yardage, or 2 for 8. I'm sorry, 2 receptions for 8 yards. But I've yet to see that guy for the Chiefs where it's like, last year it was Rashee Rice, where it's like, just give me the damn ball and I'll make something happen. In the past, it was Tyreek Hill. In the past, it's been Travis Kelce. And a game like that where you kind of need it, like in Denver, like when they played Denver, where's that guy that's like, no one's going to guard me and I promise you that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And the best we've seen it, maybe it was DeAndre Hopkins, 8 for 60, or the Juju game where he had 7 for 130, where it's like, they aren't guarding me. Throw me the ball. Let me be the guy that kind of gets loud, gets rowdy. It kind of looks like they're just going through the motions on offense, which is fine. They're a pro team that's won back-to-back titles. Who am I to question what they can do? But show me that guy. Let me, you know, and I know that you have the theory that they're like, you know what, they're just going to keep vanilla, evergreen. We're not going to show too much. We don't have to. We've got a playbook that we think is good enough to beat Buffalo. It wasn't yesterday. But again, like, you can find yesterday's game. You can find the reasons why they lost. Time of possession. Third down, they weren't better. Turnovers, they were worse.
Yeah.
It's just those things happened. But again, I'm looking for that guy that's going to be like, hey, here we go. Like, is that going to be a Mahomes takeover game? And it's like, all right, Pat's in his mind. Like, Pat's in God mode right now. We're just riding with it. Or is Travis Kelce going to take this game and be like, you know what? Never again in my career will I have a stat line that says 2 for 7 or 2 for 8.
Yeah.
Never again. And I'm going to make sure of that. Or maybe when Isaiah Pacheco comes back, that's the lightning rod we need because that's his personality.
Or maybe the offensive line becomes that guy where they say, all right, it's time to start protecting Pat better. Like, we give them, like, the middle guys on the offensive line, we give them a lot of a free pass as well. I don't think the offensive line has been great this year at all, at any position, quite frankly. I mean, I think they have struggled mightily. Every time I see Patrick Mahomes, I feel like he's under pressure. And it's easy to blame Wanye Morris or Kingsley Suamataia because we don't really know them. We love Trey. We love Creed. We love Joe Tooney. But, you know, it takes an entire unit to play good. I mean, it's not all pressure coming just from that left tackle spot, but we want it to be. So, like, the left tackle's not playing great. We get all that. But everybody else now needs to elevate their game on that offensive line and make sure that they're playing above their level in order to compensate for what's going on at that left tackle spot. So, I mean, until that offensive line as a whole plays better, how does somebody step up? Because if they're not giving Mahomes time, or he's perceiving he doesn't have that time and he's quick to run or throw or do whatever, or he's getting sacked and trying to throw a pass, like, that offensive line's got to be better. And until they get better and give Patrick Mahomes the time of day, you know, we may not see that next step on offense. Like,
but I would say Mahomes is, and it's just playing devil's advocate to your take.
Sure, yeah.
I think that Mahomes is better when he's improvisational.
But sometimes you can't be improvisational, like with what's going on right now, where you don't have the time to do anything.
Because I think that's the problem. I know I'm taking another team in a completely different situation, but I think that's the problem with Caleb Williams in Chicago, is they're not letting him play his style of game. Like, when he's that guy, that's who he was at USC. When he was able to, like, make things happen, that's why they compared him to Mahomes, because he was able to improvise what he wanted to do. They're back here being like, nah, dude, you're a 3-step drop, throw it to the open read, and let's go. And yesterday he was better than he's been, still not where they want him to be, but he was better because he was able to use his legs and kind of improvise more. I think when Mahomes does that, it kind of makes things easier for the offensive line, because then those rushers can't necessarily pin their ears back and go. They got to be like, well, if he drops back and does this, and Buffalo did a good job of that yesterday, spying Mahomes.
They did. They did a great job yesterday.
As soon as he moved outside, that guy
zoned
in on
him. They were there. They were ready to go. And that's why I think, okay, you put that on tape yesterday if you're Buffalo. The Chiefs are going to have an answer for that in January.
Sure, they will.
They're going to have an answer for that. So what, Buffalo, what are you going to do to counteract that now? And so that's why the Chiefs don't put a lot of stuff on tape for Buffalo. Buffalo threw their best effort at Kansas City yesterday. I say yesterday was probably about a C game for the Chiefs, right? Probably about a C game yesterday for this organization. Worst defensive effort we've seen in a long time. And again, I hate to use the term effort, but that's what we call
it. And sometimes a loss helps you more than a win.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely.
I know that sounds moronic, or it sounds contradicting, but sometimes a loss is better for you at times in this time of the season than a win is.
I'm not a get a loss. DJ did say it. I'm not a get a loss out of your system guy, but I am a, okay, you lost the game, now learn from it. But if you don't learn from the loss and you don't make adjustments and you don't change, well, then you're just stupid.
Damn it.
Beating a team twice as tough in a season, no matter who the team is. Now that's what you got to do, Buffalo.
Yeah.
Beat Mahomes twice.
Yeah, now Buffalo's twice. Like, damn, we just gave our best effort. And they still had a chance to win this game.
Yeah. And not only is a loss good for you, because yesterday, everybody but the stinking Raiders, obviously, showed you that they're here. Like, they're coming.
Yeah.
Like, the AFC West is coming, boys.
It's like, coming fast, man. Like, Bo Nix yesterday.
Never want that.
Good Lord. Sometimes on a plane you do. Bo Nix. Bo Nix was good yesterday. Bo Nix is a good quarterback, and I'm tired of the blasphemy coming out of you over there.
When Bo Nix isn't any good. Won a season.
Told you this guy was going to be good.
He's a spot starter.
They've got three legit teams now in the, like, I don't think the Raiders are ever going to be legit again as far as we go for our lifetime. I really don't. Like, I mean, they're done.
Thing they got is their owner.
I mean, what is that thing is a disaster. But Denver's good, and the Chargers are good, and the Chiefs are good. And if the Chiefs end up running the table and they finish this thing 16-1,
yeah,
and everybody from the West makes the playoffs, Andy Reid, your coach of the year.
I mean, that's a good. I mean, I'm not mad about that take. I just, you know.
Everybody's crowning the North and all these other, like.
Because it's sustained it.
Yeah,
it has. You're right. Sustained
it has, yeah.
The West has been garbage for the last 7 years.
Yes.
Yep.
Like, that's just what it is. Like, we just live in the moment. That's what we do.
That's exactly right. But now, for all these people out there, I'd rather have our division be burp, burp, burp. I mean, you're about to see it.
I would love our division be a cakewalk, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, like, people are like, I wish our division were better. You got to beat the best to be the best. No.
Yeah.
Now we're going to see. All of a sudden, this division has gotten good.
I mean, it's got to make it fun. We'll go to our guy, Josh Briscoe, on the other side. Our Chiefs, what do we call him? The Chiefs contributor of SI, Josh Briscoe, whose show is also tonight. You'll want to listen to that as well. We'll talk to Josh Briscoe on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Go and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.